Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thanks very much for doing so. You, the Owner's Manual Podcast, we're now 1202. I guess that's about whatever it is, 20 plus years, 22 years of doing this. And one of the recurrent guests, I think this is his fourth time on the podcast, is Henry Manca. He is a magnificent scholar, entrepreneur, and just individual who really has changed my life. And if you listen to him and do what he says, he'll probably change yours for the better too. I know I am a better driver from what he has taught me, even though that isn't why I learned what I did from him. We'll get to that in a second, but of course, we're brought to you by Life's First Naturals, the makers of Bovine Colostrum and TrueBiotics. You can go to their website to find the randomized double-blind controlled trials that show why they're one of my top picks in both of them, supplements, both the TrueBiotic brand, especially for women, and Bovine Colostrum for everyone who exercises hard or who wants to avoid an upper respiratory infection or who has bloating. You'll see those double-blind randomized controlled trials, and the good news is they help my patients individually as well as me. Dr. Manca is a neuroscientist who serves as the CEO of Posit Science, P-O-S-I-T, but that isn't the real thing I think you should learn about him. He actually is the one who has helped develop and commercialize the Brain HQ series of games and apps, and I'm going to ask him what he thinks the main benefit of those are, in addition to helping me drive better. Henry, thanks for being on the podcast again.
Mike, it's a pleasure to be back, and thank you for your kind introduction.
So tell me, what do you think the main value has been so far? I know there's at least, whatever it is, $60 or $70 million worth of research in developing these tools, and I obviously know of the 10-year randomized controlled trial. Take it away, and I'm going to let you talk for more than the usual 2 minutes about what these games do.
Well, you know, Mike, you and I first met each other because of our shared interest in, hey, what are all the things we can do to keep our bodies and our brains as part of our bodies healthy as we age? And, you know, the big insight from brain science over the past 20 or 30 years has now been that, hey, the brain's part of a body. And just the way there are all kinds of things you can do, like exercise and diet, to keep your body healthy, there are actually all kinds of things you can do to keep your brain healthy. You know, we shouldn't be thinking of our brain as like a computer chip that just wears out over time and we're just going to have to get rid of it eventually. We need to think about our brain as something that is constantly rewiring itself, constantly changing itself in response to what we ask it to do. And what the science has told us, and this is what we've been working at Brain HQ, is, hey, the right kind of brain training exercises, particularly brain training exercises that speed up your brain and make information processing faster and more accurate, those can really quite literally rewire your brain and been shown in many randomized controlled trials now to help people think faster, focus better, and remember more. But I think that big insight that we can be taking care of our brains, that we can be choosing to do the right things with our brains, and that's going to give us healthier brains, that's going to give us more resilient brains, that's going to give us brains that let us do all the things we want to do at any age in our life, that's the big change that we're excited to be a part of here. That we don't need to think of our brains as just wearing out. We can take care of them and we can have great brains.
Now, one of the great things about when you say our brains rewiring is that the other, if you will, founder of Brain HQ and Posit Science was the one who, if you will, co-developed the concept and the science behind the concept that our brains are malleable or can keep developing as they get older. So talk to us for a couple minutes about that. And then if you would talk about, now I use both double decision and freeze frame with regularity. Tell me about that and tell our listeners about those.
Well, you're right. You know, Posit Science was co-founded by Dr. Michael Merznick. He was my PhD advisor. And what he is really known for is that discovery that the adult brain is plastic, which is, I guess, what you and I as scientists mean, capable of change, capable of rewiring itself. And, you know, it's difficult to overstate what a change that was. You know, if you were to rewire if you were to go back in the clock and ask scientists in the 70s or even the 80s, how does the brain work? Now, they all would have said, hey, it changes when you're little. Like, we all know kids learn languages really quickly. But then there's a critical period, and then it's done. After that, you just have the brain you're going to have. The wiring stays fixed. The cells just die one by one. And life is a long, slow path of decline. Everybody believed that back in the 70s and the 80s, right? You know, you can go back and read those papers. They talk about the wear and tear theory of aging, right? Our brains just wear out over time. And that revolution that Dr. Merznick led to say, hey, then none of that's right. Just none of it's right. We retain the capability for change and rewiring throughout our entire life. You know, that was just a scientific revolution, the kind of thing where at the time, Nobel Prize winning scientists said he was crazy. And then time passed and hundreds and thousands of studies got done. And now, of course, as you know, neuroplasticity is in every textbook about how the brain works. And what that's let us do at Brain HQ is build these scientifically designed exercises that take advantage of that basic science, that there's a way to rewire the brain with training and turn it into fun, engaging exercises that people can do on their computer, do on their phone, do on their tablet to make the brain faster and more accurate and then improve cognitive abilities like attention and speed and memory. But even more excitingly, improve real-world abilities, right? You've talked about driving. You know, there's a core exercise in Brain HQ, you mentioned it, called double decision, where you're looking at the computer screen and you are staring at the center of the screen to notice whether something you see is a car or a truck, for example, on the screen. And then in your peripheral vision, way out in the corner of your eye, you have to notice a road sign, for example. And what that's doing is it's making visual speed and attention stronger and faster in your brain. And that means when you're out driving and you're staring right ahead of you at the car ahead of you to be safe, you have enough visual speed and attention to notice a hazard in your peripheral vision, like maybe a car is about to just come through a stop sign, or maybe someone's about to change lanes. And scientific studies funded by the NIH, for example, have shown that that kind of brain training, double decision in Brain HQ, reduces at-fault auto crashes by 48% on the road. A very real-world situation and a very real-world demonstration of how having a faster and more accurate, a sharper brain through the right kind of brain training can help improve brain health.
Well, I know that when I've done that game, all of a sudden I started noticing cars and objects in the periphery that I hadn't beforehand. So I truly believe it has improved my driving. Still one of probably the worst drivers in the world, but it has improved my driving considerably.
Well, we want to keep you safe, Mike. That's one goal we have here. And everyone we work with. And that's what people come back to and talk to us about, right? What do they notice? They feel sharper. They're more aware of the world around them, whether it's in their vision or maybe they're just hearing better because they've done auditory exercises. And again, it just goes to show you the brain's part of the body. We can keep it healthy. And of course, the brain's an incredibly important part of the body because it mediates everything that we sense and everything that we remember and everything that we pay attention to and everything we think about. And if we can keep that important part of the body sharper, well, we're going to have a better, happier life, aren't we?
Talk to me a little bit about freeze frame, and then I want to go to what we know about marijuana. But let's talk about freeze frame first.
Yeah, freeze frame is, there's dozens of brain training exercises in Brain HQ, but you've put your finger on two of the most interesting ones. So freeze frame is an exercise that was designed to improve attention, and it also is designed to improve decision-making. You know, what you do in this exercise is you're shown a particular picture that you have to pay attention, you have to look for. And then on the computer screen, you're seeing a whole series of pictures, and most of them aren't the target you're looking for. And every time you see one that's not the target, you have to hit the space bar, right? So you're kind of getting the habit of, I see something, it's not the target, I hit the space bar. I see something, it's not the target, I hit the space bar. But every now and then, it is the target, and you have to withhold your response. You have to not hit the space bar. And now as I'm saying that out loud, your listeners might be like, well, that sounds pretty easy. What are these two doctors talking about here exactly? But it actually is incredibly challenging for your sustained attention and your decision-making, because you get in that regular habit of hitting the space bar, and it's very challenging for your brain to withhold that response when it needs to. Now, why is that good for your brain? Well, it's good for your brain because it trains your sustained attention. It's improving the what we neuroscientists call the neuromodulatory systems in the brain, things like norepinephrine, for example, and acetylcholine, that have these very broad projections across the brain and are related to our overall feelings of brightness and verve and pep and attention and those kinds of things. And by engaging those systems with this kind of training exercise, you know, we're keeping them healthy and we're keeping them strong. And those kinds of systems wear out over time. You know, as you know, of course, Mike, you know, one of the early signs of Alzheimer's disease in particular is loss of function in the acetylcholine systems that relate to attention, that project across the whole brain and control brain plasticity. And, you know, what we think on the basis of animal experiments, and there's actually human experiments going on about this as we speak, is that by using that kind of exercise, we're helping strengthen those kinds of neuromodulatory systems to control attention and, again, pep and verve and alertness across the whole brain by exercising them in that way.
And let's talk about marijuana. You know, it's often cited that marijuana causes problems with the developing brain, especially when used frequently. Tell us about all the data we know, and should, in your view, should marijuana be reclassified, and should it be available as it is to kids? It turns out a study this week from Europe showed that about 30% of kids age 15 have some use of marijuana within the last month.
Well, you know, it's such an interesting question from a policy perspective. And you know, if I can connect the dots for your listeners, you know, we're talking about brain training. And one of the great things about brain training is, well, we had to do a lot of research to figure out what worked and what didn't. And it now helps us realize that there are ways we can improve our health that just aren't necessarily just drugs, right? So medicines that you would get from the drugstore or from a doctor. And, you know, as a scientist, when I look at these kinds of, you know, recreational pharmaceuticals like marijuana or psilocybin, like magic mushrooms or MDMA or ecstasy, there's a couple of different lenses we have to bring to it. One of them is, as you say, a societal lens. Is this good for brains? Is this good for people? But the other one I want to bring out is, of course, is a scientific lens. Well, how can we figure out if these things can be helpful? How can we figure out if they're going to be harmful? And of course, we have to do studies in order to do it. So with your permission, I'm going to tackle those in kind of backwards order. I think one of the really challenging things that maybe a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, it's almost impossible to do good, rigorous, randomized controlled trials on things like marijuana or psilocybin or MDMA, because they're all what are called Schedule I drugs, which means the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, classifies them as about the most kind of dangerous, unsafe drug there is. And that means, you know, if you were to go to your lab or if I was to go to my lab and say, hey, we want to know, can ecstasy help with PTSD, for example? It can take years to even get the study going because you have to jump through all these regulatory hoops. Because from the DEA's perspective, you're using a class one drug, one of the most dangerous drugs out there. A lot of people don't realize that marijuana as a class one drug is actually classified by the DEA as more dangerous than oxycodone. And we know how much damage oxycodone has done to our society over the past 10 years. So from a science perspective, I think it's a positive development that we may see marijuana get reclassified from a class one to a class three, or a schedule one to a schedule three drug.
And let me just interrupt you for now, Henry, if I can, because I think one of the things that people don't understand is that you can't have in a class one drug, it is virtually impossible to get it across state lines. Meaning you can have it inside the state where it's legal, but to get the same product in California and in Montana and in Colorado and in Ohio and in Texas, you can't do that. So that a study in California would maybe have very little relevance to what happens in Florida or Ohio or New York.
Exactly.
So by getting it to Schedule III, not only does it become easier to study, but we actually can study something that is reliably available or usable across state lines. So the data is usable, rather than being a one state study.
That is exactly right. That's exactly right. If you and I were to collaborate across California and Ohio, we just couldn't do it really in a meaningful way under modern rules. And in order to do good science, we have to do that. So a big piece of this is science. Here in California, actually, because it's a Schedule I drug, you also have to go through an additional regulatory review at the state. And that state commission actually hasn't met for about the past 6 or 9 months. So no study can go forward. It's just very, very challenging. Now, it's important for everyone to realize that that reclassification from a Schedule I to a Schedule III drug does not mean that marijuana is about to be legal across the country. It absolutely does not mean that. It just means that the regulation, like the interstate transport issues and the research issues and so forth that you and I are talking about, are going to become a lot easier for scientists.
Yeah, and I think we also ought to make the point that doesn't mean that it's safe for our youth or safe for the elderly or safe for any specific group or harmful for those groups. We just don't know because it got to be Schedule I in, I think, about 1970, because it got that scheduling, that we haven't been able to do what you would call reliable and excellent science on its benefits and risks. And there may be benefits and there may be risks, and that may be specific to both specific age groups and specific brain developments. And one of the neat things that's happening is we're getting much more data on brain proteins and being able to specify maybe the person with Alzheimer's this is good for, or maybe the person with the pre-Alzheimer's proteins this is bad for. We're going to learn a ton more in the next 3 or 4 years, I believe, certainly in the next 10 years, about the specificity of this. At least that's my view. Tell me what yours is.
I think you're exactly right. We want to take these things, we want to move them out of the domain of sort of folk wisdom into the domain of science. And, you know, as a medical doctor, every drug that a medical doctor prescribes, it is helpful to some people at some doses in some situations, and it is harmful to other people at other doses, other situations. And of course, we find that out by doing good science, and we've just had that inability to do that for these kinds of Schedule I drugs. But you raise very reasonable concerns. You know, I'm in California. We legalized cannabis, you know, quite some time ago. And honestly, Mike, it's been a little bit of a shock to me. I mean, I did personally vote for the legalization because I was concerned about the criminal justice penalties that were being applied to people who were engaged in what seemed like a minor issue. But honestly, Mike, I didn't necessarily expect that legalization meant that on my kids as they were going to school, were going to be seeing billboards telling them they could get cannabis delivered to their house that afternoon, right? You know, that doesn't seem to me from a policy perspective to be a good idea. It doesn't seem like, you know, normalizing the use of these kinds of things amongst kids is at all a good idea. These kids have developing brains. The effects that these drugs can have on developing brains are at the very least unknown for all the scientific reasons we've talked about and may have reasons for concern. And so, you know, I think this is why I personally am in favor of moving marijuana from Schedule I to Schedule III. I would also be in favor of moving other things like MDMA or psilocybin in the same way to facilitate research. But boy, that just doesn't mean to me it should be a free-for-all out here in the commercial world, you know, especially for young people who have, you know, so many things that they can do by accident or on purpose because they're young and they're dumb, they're learning, that, you know, they can have really some lifelong or very long-lasting health consequences. That's not something I want to see as a researcher.
This has been a great conversation with Dr. Henry Monca, and Henry is the CEO of BrainHQ. I urge you to go to brainhq.com. I think they have specials, prices on it for Mother's Day and Father's Day. And they're great gifts for your mother or father or for you to give to your spouse, because practicing for just a little bit on double decision and freeze frame and maybe some of the other games I don't know of may help you a great deal in staving off cognitive dysfunction, even helping you be a better driver like it has me. So that's brainhq.com, and I have no financial interest in it. On the other hand, our advertisers, who I love, are longevityplaybook.com, longevityplaybook.com. Go to their site and sign up for the free newsletter, as well as LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of both Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum. Go to their website, also LifesFirstNaturals.com, to see the double-blind randomized controlled trials of why those may be beneficial for you. This has been 1202B. The bees are always excellent guests, just like Henry. Spectacular session. Thank you for it. And thank you for alerting us to the benefits of switching marijuana, cannabis from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3, as well as for bringing us Brain HQ Double Decision and Freeze Frame, which I use almost every Saturday. So thanks very much. That's my practice time with it. We'll be back next week, but especially thank you, those 50,000 of you who download us and listen to us weekly. We love you and thank you for doing it. Tell your friends about us and do look at brainhq.com's website. Thanks again.